All right, now I'm just getting everything set up and let me just press record. Oops, hang on, I'm just gonna get my setup working here. I thought that was gonna be more zoomed in. Let me see if I can move a little bit closer. All right, if you are, I need to mute everyone. Whose sound have I got? Managed participants, how do I mute? If you are here with me live, can you just let me know that you can hear me and see me okay? I just want to know that audio and video are looking all right. Just trying to get everything set up. So it's looking okay. You can just type into the chat box. If you can just let me know that you can see me and hear me okay before I get started, that would be fantastic. Just so that I know that everyone can hear me. Can someone let me know in the chat box that you can see me and hear me okay? Beautiful. Thank you, Helen. Thank you for letting me know. Excellent. All right. Welcome to our first group coaching call. Oh, what's happened with my light there? Let's get some lighting right here. Okay. Beautiful. I just want to make sure this is all looking good. If you are joining me live and you want to let me know where are you dialing in from, I know for Helen you just said good evening, so it must be nighttime for you somewhere in another part of the world. It is 9 a.m. In the morning in Sydney for me. If you're joining me live, let me know where you're dialing in from, just so I know who's here and what parts of the world you are joining me from. I hope you're enjoying the slow down and tune in journey so far. I'm excited for our first group coaching call. And I've had some beautiful questions come through. So what I'm going to do, I've got the questions that have been sent in a document in front of me. You have to excuse me. I've got a little bit of a cold and I was just about to sneeze. No, I'm not going to. I've got all the questions in a document in front of me. And what I'm going to do is I keep all the questions anonymous and I'll just read them out and then I'll provide some responses. And if any of you who are on the call at any stage want to chat into the chat box and share any thoughts or feelings that are coming up or pose additional questions at the end, if we've got time, I will answer some additional questions. I'm going to aim to run for about an hour today, just so you all know. Beautiful. We've got Alyssa joining from Los Angeles. We've got someone joining from Melbourne. It's not showing me what your name is, but welcome. Beautiful to have you here. I can see Renee's here as well. She's up in Queensland. Lovely to have you all. So let's just dive on into the questions. So as I said, you can interact with me as you want through the call, but thank you for being here with me live. It's beautiful to have you here. Some really good questions coming through, some that are linked to the particular coursework that we've been working on these past couple of weeks, and then some, a few related to career, actually, people with a couple of career-related questions that does still tie into our work together. And yeah, I hope that everything... Oh, beautiful. Amanda. Awesome. And Helen's in the UK. Awesome. Why is my lighting going a bit dim? Let me just get that... See if I can get that nice and bright. I don't know. I always have lighting issues in my apartment. That's just how it is. So yeah, I'll read out the questions and then share responses and then we can go from there. Okay. First question has come through about boundaries, which is beautiful because we started talking about boundaries in module 2. And someone said here, I'm having trouble setting boundaries in my work life. I work freelance and I overcommit from fear of having no money and no more work, despite having worked freelance successfully for 6 years. Can you jam a little bit on boundaries? So apply this to whatever situation this may be playing out for you. So boundaries can play out, like needing to implement boundaries and struggling with boundaries can play out in so many different ways. So if this isn't playing out for you through work and say, you know, you're not in a situation of being a freelancer, think about how maybe this is playing out for you in terms of, because what's happening here is we've got on one level the desire to implement a boundary, the knowing that perhaps there's some boundaries needed or the lack of boundaries is feeling detrimental. But at the same time, there's a fear around implementing those boundaries. And this is typically what stops us all the time implementing a boundary. There's a fear of the repercussion of that. There's a fear of losing money, losing security. It may be in other situations, losing love, losing connection, losing someone's approval. So that's often what stops us implementing a boundary, is the fear of what will happen when we do. So just maybe reflect on and notice if that's playing out for you in any way, so that you can apply whatever I'm going to share to your own personal situation. Just wish I could get that looking a little bit brighter than it is. But anyway, it is what it is. I'm sure it looks fine. It's just me being pedantic. All right. So when we're working with boundaries, I see the work of boundaries to be a very self-loving, self-honoring practice. And what we're doing when we're implementing a boundary is we are choosing to honor ourselves above all else. We're choosing to put ourselves first. We're choosing to say, I love and care about myself so much that it's more important to me to feel good, to protect my energy, to nurture and nourish myself and look after myself than it is to make someone else happy or make money or achieve that external success or get that person's approval, whatever it is. So it's a deep, deep self-love, self-honoring practice. And a boundary is a way that we protect our energy. So when we don't have boundaries, what we'll find is this sort of leaky energy feeling. We're giving energy to things that drain and deplete us. We're taking on too much. We are letting people step into our space and our time and our energy in really unsupportive ways. We're not having a boundary that says, no, you can't do that. Or we're not having a boundary that says, I'm at capacity now. I can't take on anymore. So the boundary is a way that we protect ourselves and protect our energy. And without them, yeah, like things can come in and out of your energy constantly and take a massive toll on you. So when we're looking at, this is something interesting, when we're looking at wanting to set a boundary, so what I actually want you to feel into is, and what I would encourage this woman to do and all of you, is actually get some clarity on what is the boundary that is needed here. Because we might be noticing, you know, I'm overcommitted, I'm taking on too much work. Oh, I just got to meet someone whose sound is coming through. Who is that? Ooh, beautiful. So we might sort of have this broad thing of like, oh, I feel overcommitted. But what is the actual boundary? So let's get some clarity. Is it that I think, or is it that I can feel that I can't do more than a 40-hour work week, or I can't do more than a 20-hour work week, whatever you're working? You need to get clear in yourself what is overcommitment to you. So that's the first kind of step, is to get clear on, like, you know, and I remember doing this with coaching. I would very often, when I started, just take on any client that wanted to come my way because I wanted the money. And then I got to a point where I realized, okay, for me to show up as my best self, I can only do, say, 3 sessions in a day, or I can only coach 2 days a week, or I can only do this many clients at a time. I had to get very, very clear on what worked for me and then what the boundary was of when I knew I was overcommitting. So when I took on this many clients or did this many hours, that was an overcommitment for me that felt like a burden. So that's the first thing I would encourage you to do, is if you were to deeply honor yourself, what's the amount of hours you want to do, get really clear on what the type of work you want to be saying yes and no to. You need to first get really clear on that in yourself, so you know what the boundary is you need to implement. And so say you say, you know what, these are the clients I love working with, and I can't take on more than, let's just say, 35 hours of work a week, for example. That's your boundary. So you know that when you're at 35 and some more work is going to come in, that's where you need to say no. So I think getting really, really clear first on what is the boundary that is needed based on what do you know is your limit and when do you know you're at capacity will really help you with implementing it. Then you want to look at, okay, well, what's the fear that's coming up around putting in this boundary? Like, then we need to work through what's preventing us implementing that. And like I said, I've had to go through this so much in my work, particularly when actually I stepped away from coaching altogether. I'm really not coaching at all at the moment. And I had to work through so much fear around that, because I had a story that the only way for me to make money in my business was through coaching. And obviously trying to step away from that triggered all this fear. Will I make enough money? Will I be secure? All of that. But what the whole journey of Slow Down and Tune In is about, and what we've got to do here, is we've got to choose what energy is going to drive and guide our lives. And for me, there was my heart and my intuition telling me Connie, one-on-one is not the most nourishing way for you to work with people. You know you get a lot of energy through working with groups. You know that's going to provide greater exposure for your work. So the guidance was there around the change I needed to make for this woman, you know, the boundary she needs to implement, whatever it is. And I had to go through a process of having the courage to follow that guidance, even though I was afraid. Because the other option is, we follow the voice of fear, which says you can't say no, you can't implement that boundary, you're going to lose money. And then we're living our life from a fear-based scarcity energy anyway, which is never going to feel good to you, no matter how much money you make, no matter how much love you get. It's not going to work. You're going to constantly be needing more of that external stuff. So I want to ask this woman here, and I want you to each do it, you know, what can I feel that my heart and my intuition are telling me about the change I need to make, the boundary I need to implement, what I need to do here? And what is my guidance telling me? Is it saying to me, just trust that if you say no, there'll still be more than enough work coming through for you? Just trust that if you actually prioritize your self-care, you're going to create greater abundance anyway, because you're filling yourself up from within. I want you to listen for what the deeper guiding voice is telling you and choose to follow that. And then we just process the fear. So I had to sit with a lot of fear in making some of these hard decisions. And we'll talk about this through the course, but we need to learn how to hold ourselves through our fear rather than reacting off our fear. So when the fear comes up, we witness it and we go, wow, I can tell my heart is telling me to put in this boundary here, but my fear is really strong that I'm going to lose something I value through doing that. Let me just hold myself through that fear. And that means just being present to it and noticing it and feeling it, but not reacting off the fear, if that makes sense. So you just have to sit with yourself, and we talk about this in an upcoming module, just learning how to feel your feelings and feel and process the fear, but keep tuning in for the guidance, that little voice that's telling you to implement the boundary or telling you to make this change and choosing to follow that. So there's trust going to come in here. And surrendering and following your guidance, which is all what we're going to talk about through this course. And there was something else I was going to say. What was it? That's right as well. We need to perhaps write a new story. So in this woman's example, there is a story, an inner story around work that says, if I start saying no to particular work opportunities and put in a boundary, then the work's going to dry up and I'm going to lose these opportunities. It happens with friendships. If I start saying no, then people are going to stop inviting me to things and I'm going to lose my friends. So we actually have a story that isn't supporting us. And so we need to rewrite the story. And so I had to rewrite the whole story of my business, which was unraveling a story of I only make money through one-on-one coaching, and writing a new story of it is possible for me to make the same, if not more money, through doing group online experiences. And that has been the case. I make more money now in my business, following my heart and intuition on how I'm best meant to serve the world versus acting out of fear and continuing to take on one-on-one clients. I'm actually making more money now because I trusted that guidance and I followed it. So you might need to write a new story, which is start telling yourself the story. For 6 years, I've been working freelance. For 6 years, I've been supporting myself. And money's always come in. Opportunities have always come in. In fact, so many opportunities come in that I'm overcommitting myself. That's how much abundance there is for me in my work. That's how supported I am. That's how good I am at what I do. So you need to write a story, like, and you just write that out, journal about that, a new way of thinking that's going to help you feel safe. Because for as long as we have a story that's based on lack and scarcity, we're never going to feel safe and secure. So we think, I'll just get more money and then I'll feel safe and secure. No, you need to change the way you're thinking to feel safe and secure. We can't live from scarcity, no matter how much money you get. If you have a story of scarcity, that's all you're going to feel. So that's a lot of different ways that you can approach this particular boundary stuff. And I hope that's been supportive. And I hope each of you have been able to take something away from that as well that you can apply to your own situation. If you're listening and you got some value out of Oh no, sorry. My neighbor downstairs is doing some renovations. Great. I can hear them starting to bang now. Beautiful. Amanda. Yeah. If any of you got any value out of that, please share with me. I'd love to hear. Oh, what's going on with my lighting? Let me see if I can fix this up. Sorry. I get really funny about lighting on these calls. It's just like a funny thing of mine. All right, let's move on because I've got a lot to get through. This is actually another question about work, and I thought this was a really good one as well. So this person has said, I'm not happy with my work and I'm ready for a change. I've done this job for 20 years, and for the last 10 years I've worked through an agency, and when they ring me with an appointment, I feel bad about being offered this work and I feel like I should be changing. So she's, again, the heart and the intuition is saying to her, this job isn't in alignment for you anymore. It doesn't bring you joy. You know you're craving a change. And so there's always, you know, this is what the whole slow down and tune in journey is about, is listening to the true inner voice, because we're always being guided. Our heart is always telling us what's right for us. Our body's always communicating, because if you're getting, you know, work coming in and your body's like, oh, I don't want to do this. There's no joy. There's no aliveness. You've got to listen to that. That's your guidance coming through. So this woman's like, feeling like I'm not enjoying my job. So that's what she's sort of saying. I'm not enjoying my job. But then she makes herself wrong for that and feels guilty because she feels like I just should be grateful that I've got a job in the first place, which, yes, absolutely. So she's saying, how do I stop feeling guilty over saying that I don't enjoy my job? And then also, as I'm in my job, how do I do it without feeling low and fed up like it's a chore? I hope you can't hear too much of that banging outside. That's a bit annoying. So I apologize about that. All right. Two things I want to say here. Oh, I just had a comment come through. Let me look at that. Beautiful. Alyssa, I'm in a similar situation where I've been freelance but burnt out. Figuring out my future and creating boundaries is essential right now. Beautiful. I'm glad that resonates. I can't turn that up anymore. What's going on there? Maybe I had it too bright. Oh, that's all right. Okay, so first of all, this is an interesting thing, because what I can feel from what this woman's saying is her heart, her body wisdom, her intuition is saying to her, this job isn't lighting you up anymore. This job isn't your joy anymore. Maybe it's time for a change. And when you feel and hear that guidance, we need to honor that. We need to fully be like, wow, okay, it's time for me to get honest and listen. Now, when we have a feeling of guilt, guilt is a feeling of making ourselves wrong. So whenever you feel guilty, you're making yourself wrong in some way. And so what this woman's been doing, and we do this, is what I'm hearing from her is like her guidance is saying, I don't know if I really want to be doing this anymore. But then that voice in her mind is making her wrong for that and saying, oh, you're so ungrateful and, you know, you should just appreciate you have a job. And that voice is trying to talk her out of listening to her heart in order to keep her where she is and keep her safe. So first of all, I would say drop any judgment about what you're feeling. If you're feeling that this job isn't fulfilling you anymore, awesome. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that. That just means you're ready for something different. It doesn't mean that you're unappreciative. It doesn't mean that you're ungrateful. It just means something within you is saying, perhaps we're ready for a change. And that's totally okay. And I want you to just own that. If you've been doing this job for 20 years, you've probably really changed as a person, and maybe you're just not in alignment with it anymore. And that's totally okay. You know, I even noticed that with coaching. I was like, oh, Connie, like, you're so ungrateful. You've got so many beautiful clients wanting to work with you and you're turning them down. Like, aren't you a bit of a spoiled brat? And I'm like, no, no, no. This is me really honoring the part of me that is showing me, that's guiding me, and I'm listening to that. Oh, sorry, just got a phone call coming through. I'm listening to that guidance, and that's my job, and my purpose is to follow my guidance wherever it takes me. So I actually feel like for this woman, I want you to own the fact that maybe it is ready it is time to make a change. And that's beautiful. Awesome. Own that. And I actually think make the decision that perhaps you are going to create a change. But what I often teach is, and I did a whole podcast on this, is the first step to creating change is a wholehearted acceptance of where we are. So once you realize you do want to create a change, the work is to then not go into a state of resistance around where we are, but to say, okay, firstly, I can feel I'm ready for a change. Secondly, okay, I'm going to work on that change, but right now I am where I am. So let me make the best of where I am. And as this woman's sort of saying, you know, she wants to appreciate it. And that's beautiful. Be like, great. At least there's still work coming through. I've got so much to be grateful for. There's opportunities here. These people really value me. They want to keep giving me work. I'm really grateful for this job because I'm good at it. And it's obviously supported me for a really long time. So you can both own your desire for change, but also just accept that you're still here at the moment at the same time. I've had to do that a lot as I've transitioned out of jobs, like going from my job to my business. I remember really landing on the feeling of like, okay, I can feel that I'm going to need to step out of this job soon. But for the time that I'm here, let me make the best of it because, yep, it's bringing money in the door. So let me make the best of it. So I just want this woman to stop making herself feel wrong for realizing that she doesn't want to do this job anymore. There's no need for guilt here. And the second part of her question is, well, now that when I'm at my job, how can I work through this without feeling so low and fed up and a chore? Well, first of all, I think if you honor the part of you that's saying you're ready for a change, you won't feel as fed up because you know change is coming. I think the fed up sort of resentful feeling is coming because you're forcing yourself to do something that you know you just don't really want to do anymore. But I think once you own the fact that you are ready for a change, the energy will lighten. And then you can just appreciate it knowing that you're not going to have to be there that much longer. It's supporting you while you transition into something else, and you're just going to make the best of it while you're there. And that's when we can bring in a lot of little things. And I did this when I was in my, you know, in my day jobs that I didn't love, but I knew I had to stay in as I was preparing to step into something else. I just made the best of it as best as I could. And I had my little practices outside of my day job that made me happy and that nourished me. So I wasn't expecting my job to be the source of all my happiness. I had a beautiful morning practice. I was writing on a blog and exploring my passions outside of work. I was going to workshops to connect with like-minded people. I was going to yoga because I love that. So I was filling myself up in a lot of ways outside of work with things that made me really happy. And as this woman so beautifully said, she's like, when I have to take the bus, I use this time for positive affirmations or for walking meditations. And I might listen to music on the bus so that my mind is occupied with good thoughts. But then she finds as soon as she starts to getting into work, she feels really depressed, which again is a sign that that job's just not in alignment for you anymore. But I really want to honor what she says she's doing outside of work in the lead up to work, because that is really, really powerful. I used to do that as well. Like my lunch breaks, I'd be out in the sunshine reading my self-help books. On the way to work, I was listening to, audios and podcasts and music and Abraham Hicks. So wherever you can, you're drawing on these things to keep your vibration high. You're doing things outside of work that are filling you up, and it makes then the transition of moving out of that a lot easier. But I think what's going to change for you here is when you own the fact that you're ready for the change, because you're going to stop forcing yourself to do something that every part of your body and your guidance is telling you is no longer in alignment for you. So I hope that makes sense. But if you are in a work situation that you do want to be transitioning out of, or you know isn't bringing you that much joy, that's our work then to fill ourselves up outside of that job and fill out, you know, I would put beautiful things on my desk like crystals and flowers, and I would listen to beautiful music while I was working, and I would, any chance I had, I'd still be drawing on all the things that I loved even though I was at my job. So that helped me a lot when I was transitioning out of a work situation that wasn't the best. But yeah, I really think when you finally own what your guidance is telling you, everything will lighten up. Hope that makes sense. Sorry about that banging outside. It sounds like they're renovating a bathroom or something. I can't tell what they're doing. All right, let's see. Question here. I'm struggling with staying in the moment. I constantly have nagging thoughts in my head about work and stressful relationships. I'm going to start to incorporate some of the tips you provided, but other tips would be helpful when you seem to have an overwhelming sense of anxiety. So all the things I'm worrying about are legitimate worries that I need to figure out, but the answers haven't come together yet. She says she's working through some therapy, which is helping her, but she's still really struggling. So how do we sort of stay in the moment? Because, you know, we were talking about this in module two, when, you know, our mind's constantly pulling us out, right? And pulling us into worry and concern. So next week's module is about mindfulness, and I think this will really help you. I'm going to be giving you more tools around what to do with this voice in your mind. But there's a couple of things. And look, I relate to this a lot. I've struggled a lot with anxiety throughout my life, and a lot with, you know, at times even sleeplessness, with a mind that's racing and looping. So I'll see if I can offer you some things that might help you here. First of all, if you find there's a lot of energy in your head thinking about something, you need to somehow be able to get that energy out. Because like, it's like, I think of it like, and this is how I often think of anxiety, is like if you were to get a bottle of soft drink, like Coke or whatever, and you would shake it, and then you watch all the pressure building up in the bottle, you still got the lid on, all the bubbles are fizzing and you can feel the pressures building in the bottle, but you're keeping the lid on. That to me is what anxiety feels like. It just feels like this pressure and this energy and this intensity building in me, and there's no outlet for it. When really all you need to do is just unscrew the lid and let all that out. So I find for me, when I'm not having a way to release and outlet the energy, it just, like, I can combust in myself. So there's a lot of different ways you can work through and release what's in there. One, journaling is a beautiful one. If I'm just worried about something, sometimes just brain dumping it onto a page is really useful. I also have a lot of friends that I voice message with. So a few of my girlfriends who are, you know, we're really, really close, we'll just voice message, and we just send little voice messages where we're just talking out what we're feeling, like, oh, this is what's going on for me today. This is what I'm worried about. And talking is a way to get it out too. So you want to look at ways to get the energy out. So brain dumping onto a page and journaling it, talking it out with someone. I even talk it out by myself. If I'm feeling anxiety, I will sit with myself, and I'll identify, first of all, where in my body I feel it. So what does it feel like? Does it feel like a knot in my belly? Does it feel like pressure in my chest? Does it feel like electricity in my head? Like, does it feel like tension in my shoulders? And I will tune into myself. Sorry, that noise outside's really annoying. I hope it's not annoying you guys. It's annoying me. I'll tune into myself and I say, okay, Connie, what's going on right now? And I'll be like, oh my gosh, there's just this anxious knot in my belly. And I'll put my hand over that part of my body, so over my belly, and I'll just sit with it and I'll breathe into it. And I'll be like, okay, Con, what's this about? Like, almost like I am my own best friend talking to myself. I'll literally just sit out loud in my apartment and talk to myself. Sometimes in front of the mirror. Okay, Con, what's going on? And I'll be like, you know what? I'm just really worried about this, this, and this. And I'm like, my mind is freaking out about it. And I don't know what to do about it. I don't have a solution to it yet. I don't know what's going to happen. And I just let myself talk out loud with myself what I'm feeling. And then I might be like, okay, yeah, totally, Con. Like, how is that making you feel? And I said, I feel so unsettled. I feel really overwhelmed. I feel really anxious, and I can feel it as a knot in my belly. And I'd be like, all right, what's that feeling in your body? Tell me more about it. I'm like, oh, it's like this churning, and it's this knot, and it's like tight and it's heavy. And I'm just really getting present to what's going on for me and using my voice to talk it out loud. And I actually find that can relieve a lot of the pressure when I actually just acknowledge and honor what's going on. So it's like I'm letting the soft drink out of the bottle rather than putting the lid on and being like, ignore the anxiety. Just, I don't know what to do about it. I just got to keep working. And, you know, like, I actually find a way to get it out. The other thing I do is dance. Sometimes if I don't know, like, what's going on for me, I'll dance through it. I'll put on some music and I'll just dance through the house and just let that, it's like, again, unscrew the lid, let the energy out. I let that anxiety just move through my body, or I go on a big walk, or there's a lot of different things you can do. Just, I want you to think about getting the energy out. The other thing, I mean, you can also, I talk out loud to the universe sometimes, and I'll be like, universe, like, I don't know what's going to happen with this situation. Like, what do I need to do? Can you please bring me a sign? Can you give me some guidance? And I might map out, okay, what aspect of this problem is within my control? So what can I do about this right now? Is there anything in this moment that I can actually do about this? And if there is, taking that step is really helpful. Sometimes action really alleviates anxiety. Because anxiety is sometimes a buildup of something we're thinking about too much but not acting on, or we're thinking about a lot but we're not, but we're procrastinating. So get really honest if there's any action you can take in this moment that would move you a little bit forward, that would alleviate the worry, that would give you a bit more information. And if so, take that action. If not, if you can't see a single thing you could do, that's when I will talk to the universe and I'll be like, you know what? This is in your hands. I need you to help me work through this. Can you, you know, if I hand this over to you, can you help orchestrate some events for me here that will support me? Can you show me my next step? Can you give me the insight I need? Give me the information that I need. And so that helps me as well, because it makes me feel like I'm less alone. Or I'll do a Q&A journaling with my intuition, and I'll sit down and imagine that I can, we'll talk about this later in the course, but that I can ask my intuition a question. I can ask my higher self a question, and I'll write an open-ended question like, what do I need to know about this situation? Say I'm worried about my relationship. What do I most need to know about this situation right now? And you just start letting your pen move on the page and just tune into your heart and your body and just let the words flow. And you will eventually find that some supportive guiding words come through. That's really helped me as well. So they're all the kind of things that I tend to draw on when this is going on for me. Coming into my body as much as possible. So things that bring me into my body and out of my head, like, you know, doing some body massage, having a bath, doing some stretching on my yoga mat that actually just soothe and support my nervous system as well. Like all the things I talked about, I think in the first class, that the first module that you can use to soothe your nervous system and calm you down. But one of the worst things we can do when this is going on is judge ourselves or resist it. So be like, oh, I should be present. I shouldn't be worrying about the future. If your mind's going there right now, just trust that there's something that's going on for you that you need to honor. So rather than being like, oh, I'm going to judge myself for not being able to stay in the present, it might be like, wow, let me pay attention. There must be something that's really worrying me in this moment because my mind can't let it go. So let me love myself enough, be my own best friend, sit down with myself and say, wow, what's going on for you? What are you really worried about? What's the emotion here? What is this triggering in you? How can I support you with this? Do you want to write it out in your journal? Like, what do you need? That's how I've supported myself through it over the years. And even another thing with anxiety that helps me is actually legs up the wall. So a very restorative way of nurturing our nervous systems is lay on your back and come to a wall. So you lay on your back and say this is, how do I do this with my hands? Say this, yeah, say that's you're on your back, that's your belly, that's your legs, and you're up against a wall here and you put your legs up the wall. So your bottom is against the wall and your legs go up and you're lying on your back, legs up the wall. That's a very restorative thing for your nervous system. I'll actually do that if I'm feeling anxiety, and I'll put my hand on my belly where the anxiety is and just breathe into it and just be really present to what's going on for me with my legs up the wall. And that's helped, really helped calm me down as well. All right. Great question here. I'd love to know more about holding space. This is a good one. So just for anyone who's on the call, I've only got two more questions to go, which is good. We're going to be on time for an hour long session. But if you're on the call and you have any additional questions that you want to send through, I might have a little bit of time to cover them. So you can pop anything in the comments box that you want to ask. But this is a good question about holding space, because we spoke about this in module two. And someone said, can you elaborate a little bit more on this idea of holding the space and clearing the clouds? And do you hold space for other issues that may come up as clouds? Really good question. And thank you for asking it, because I think it's good just to clarify this, you know, what I was talking about. So what I think I was trying to talk about there was the difference between things consuming space versus us holding space for them. So there's a bit of a difference. So when things consume our space, the space within us, it means that something comes up for us, a thought, a worry, a concern, an emotion, and we get fully lost in it. It completely takes us over. It consumes all our space. So we get lost in the story, we're thinking, we're in a big emotional reaction. It completely overcomes us, right? And consumes all of our space to the extent we can't think about anything else or feel anything else in that moment. So when I talk about holding space, that's more a process of, and I do this because this is how it feels to me, consuming space is like this and holding space is like this for me, where it's like, it's something that I'm witnessing and noticing coming up for me, but I'm not getting hooked into it. So, and this isn't an easy thing to do, but let's just talk about this as a practice. So, oh my gosh, that sound, sorry about that. It's really irritating me, but let's just allow that, let life be as it is right now. Let's just embrace it as being part of the experience of the present moment. So say I've got something that's worrying me. One thing I could do is get fully lost in the worry of it and let it overcome me. Or I could just take some space for myself to sit down and just maybe do some yoga stretching, just get into my body, do some deep breathing, and just imagine and just notice what's coming up in my mind. And actually sort of witness it and be like, okay, this is interesting. I've got this thought coming up about worrying, say, about my relationship in the future. And it's almost like, we're going to talk about this next module, like you become the observer of it versus becoming one with it. So you kind of observe and notice, interesting, there's this worry coming up. Interesting, there's this story coming up. Oh, look. I just got triggered into a massive emotion. This is the practice of mindfulness, is being the observer of what's going on for you versus just getting lost in it. So that's sort of what I see as like a holding space kind of thing, where if you can sort of slow down and create some space for yourself to sit and almost as an observer, be like, observe your mind to be like, okay, so there's this thought and story about this, this, and this, it's creating this feeling in my body. I'm just going to notice that and sort of hold space for it, just like to be with it. It's a difficult thing to put words to. But I just know viscerally there's a real difference between me being in it versus just noticing it. And that's how I see holding space. And I do my best to hold space for everything, like a cloud, where my blue sky is like my consciousness, my awareness, me as the present self. And then the clouds are the parts of my mind and the parts of my ego self and the parts of my fear that are floating across that. And I'm noticing them and I'm not getting hooked into them. So I will do that through, again, just sort of slowing down to become really present, talking out loud, okay, interesting, I've got this thought coming up and that worry coming up and that, and yeah, that's having that impact on my body. And I notice it. And when I say I hold space for it, it's like I just become really present to it with a lot of compassion and kindness, almost like the way, like, imagine a friend came to you with a problem. And this is actually something even what a good coach does. A good coach, all we do is hold space. And so what that means is, say a friend came to you with a problem. You could either get completely consumed in that problem, almost like take it on board as your problem. Oh my God, yes, the drama of it. Let's talk about it. Let's get lost in it. Or what you can do as a friend, and maybe you've done this before, is you just hold space and you just witness and be present to what's going on for them. And you let them express it and you go, yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Completely understand. And you just are like, you're just present to it, but you're not getting hooked in it. And that's, if anyone's ever experienced coaching or worked as a coach, that's pretty much what a coach's job is to be a neutral space holder for someone to move through their process. And so that's what I do for myself. I let my, the process is happening, but I'm kind of like, yeah, I see this. Yeah, Connor, I completely get it. I understand. Yeah, yeah, that must be really hard. All right, honey, what do you need? How can I support you? Yeah, and the practice I'm going to teach you next class will really help, because I use this phrase that I'll talk about in the next module, which is the difference between I am my thoughts. So I am anxious, or I am worried, or I am feeling really overwhelmed by this, versus there's a feeling of anxiety in my body at the moment, or I'm noticing overwhelm playing out for me, or there's a story in my mind about the future, or there's this voice in my head that's telling me this. Can you feel the difference between I am it and, oh, look, there's this thing going on in my mind right now? So that's how I kind of, I really hope that makes sense. It's a difficult thing to explain, but that's how I decipher the difference between, yeah, something consuming your space and something holding space. And, you know, a typical holding space practice for me would be I roll out my yoga mat, I stretch into my body for a while and just like relax myself, might light a candle, might get my journal, might play some soft music. And then I sit down and I just notice, okay, what's going on for me right now? And then I might talk it out or journal it out, or I might just breathe into the emotion for a while. That's sort of a typical holding space practice for me. I hope that makes sense. Beautiful. All right. I'll get on to the final question. And then I've got someone coming through with a question here about morning routines, which I will talk about. All right. Last question. And I thought this was a really good one. And I'd even love to hear people's opinions on this who are in this situation. A woman said, I've just moved from being part-time to full-time. I got a promotion and moved into a broader role. And I'm also a mum with two young kids. And this is my second live round of Slow Down and Tune In. Awesome. And even though I'm trying all the tools and techniques, I'm still finding it really hard to stay afloat, she says. Even when I get time to meditate or bushwalk or do yoga, it does not restore me in the way that it used to. My role involves a fair bit of pressure, but I also find it really rewarding. And I want to think that there is a way that I can enjoy and perform in my new job as well as having energy and time for my kids. Absolutely. Do you have any suggestions for when life just feels so fast, despite our best efforts to slow down? Beautiful. So obviously I'm not a mum myself. And so it's, you know, it's all well and good for me to sometimes teach practices of all these things you can do. But, you know, I've never found myself in a situation of working in a full-time job and having a family at the same time, which, you know, are two almost full-time jobs in themselves, I can imagine. So yeah, if anyone here on the call, if you are in this situation as well, and you found things that work well for you, you know, at any point you can share them in the comments and I can, and pass them on to this woman. But I guess the feeling I was getting as I was hearing you talk about it, I'll share a couple of things. First of all, when it comes to these sort of self-care slowdown things, it's really important that we, our intention for doing them is how they make us feel. So it was just a bit of a clue for me when you mentioned, you know, even when I do meditate, bushwalk and do yoga, which perhaps were things that have worked really well for you in the past, she's saying it does not restore me in the way that it used to. So this is what we want to look at, is how do you want your practices to make you feel? And the word restore is a clue here. She wants to feel restored. Maybe what does that mean? Do you want to feel nourished? Do you want to feel like filled up? Do you want to feel calm? Do you want to feel connected to yourself? I think whenever we're setting up this stuff, we've got it, our intention is going to be how we want it to make us feel. And you can do all the self-care stuff in the world, but if it's not actually making you feel anything, it just feels like another thing on your to-do list. So my guidance here, first of all, would be to actually really, what do you want to get? What do you really need at the moment from any practice that you do for yourself? What are the key feelings you want it to give you? And maybe right now, meditating, bushwalking and yoga aren't the ones that are going to give that to you, because it constantly changes for us. And maybe actually, if you want to feel, say, restored or nourished or loved or filled up, maybe what would actually make you feel that is a bath or a little coconut body oil massage or dancing for 5 minutes to a beautiful song. It doesn't matter what the things are that we do, it's more about how they make us feel. And they can even be more simple than we would think they would ever be. So that's where I'd want you to start with it. You know, for me, for my morning practice, for example, my morning practice used to always be quiet, like, you know, get up and journal and pull tarot cards and tap into your guidance and all of that. And for a long time, that really worked for me. And then I got to a point where I just was like, I was doing it and I just still felt empty. I didn't feel anything. So then I changed my morning routine to be more based on how I wanted to feel. And these days, literally, it's dancing a lot of the time. It's like I sort of get in some nice little clothes, like just like a crop top and undies or something, something I feel a little bit cute in. And I play music and I just dance and I dance into my hips. And it's a really feminine morning practice. Now, there may not seem like there's anything constructive about dancing, you know, for 20 minutes and really getting into my body, but it gives me the same results that I used to get from meditation. It makes me feel embodied and feminine and grounded and calm. So it doesn't matter what the practice is. It matters how it makes you feel. So there might need to be a little bit of exploring and experimenting here to try a few different practices and actually find what are the ones that really do restore you, that really do nourish you. The second thing I want to mention here, when we find that we're in a place of a lot of output of energy, and I'm guessing there's a lot of output of energy and a lot of showing up and a lot of doing, right? And a lot of us are doing a lot. You know, we've got to play, be mum and do a lot there and be in this full-time role and do a lot there. That takes us a lot into our masculine energy. And our masculine energy is that, you know, show up and get things done and take action. And often what we're really craving is things that bring us back into our feminine. I'm talking to the women out here. So maybe, because when we talk, look at, say, meditation, bushwalking, yoga, they can actually still be kind of not so much meditation, but bushwalking and yoga is still an output of energy. It's still a doing practice. So my feeling is maybe what's needed is more things that are more restorative, less action focused, less about doing anything, more yin based, more feeling based, more feminine. So that's my other feeling for you. If a lot of your life is doing, showing up, outputting, we don't want your self-care to feel like that as well. We want it to feel like the opposite. We want it to feel like a place where you can soften and surrender and receive and fill up. You know, that's why something like a bath for me, because there's no doing when I'm in the bath. The bath is literally surrendering into the water. So I find that a very feminine, restorative thing for me personally, to help balance all the doing energy. So that's the other thing I'd look at. And I find this a lot for us women that are really doing big things in our lives. Our self-care actually needs to be really feminine and soft and restorative and non-action focused and where we can receive. So again, for me, like sitting down on a towel in my knickers after I've had a bath and massaging, you know, from toes to my head with coconut oil and just sending love and gratitude to each part of my body is one of the most restorative things I can do. So I'd look at maybe some yin-based things, whether it's yin yoga, things that bring you into your feminine, that soften you, that allow you to receive, that have as little amount of action in them as possible. I'd look at really getting clear on how you want your practices to make you feel and exploring a few different things to really find what does create that feeling. Like literally sitting on the couch with some soft music playing and sipping on herbal tea. I've got some peppermint tea here. I find that more restorative than, I don't know, doing a self-care practice. It's whatever feels nurturing and restorative to you. And then was there something else I was going to say here as well? You know, and we're going to talk about this more, but one of the practices as well is just asking yourself, what do I most need? Because again, sometimes we're doing self-care from our heads, or this is what is self-care for me, versus really asking your body. First of all, how are you feeling? Your body might be like, I am exhausted. I feel depleted. I feel drained. I feel like I've been outputting and showing up all day. And you go, okay, body, what do you most need? And your body might say, I just want to lie on my back in Shavasana, like that surrendered yoga pose, for 15 minutes and just listen to a beautiful song. And maybe that will just allow you to restore a little bit if you actually ask your body what would feel most restorative. So I hope that is helpful. And if anyone who is, you know, a mum and working and all that stuff has any tips on what's worked really well for them, you know, come and share it in our Facebook group, because I'm obviously just speaking from my experience as a single woman. And I think it's always useful to hear other people's perspectives who have perhaps been in this situation as well and how they've made it work. But that is, yeah. And the other thing as well, I would read the post in our Facebook group, you know, where I got everyone to share what they've been taking on board for the first week of the course. Read through that, because people have shared really beautiful, simple things that they've been practicing and integrating to help them slow down and feel nourished. And there were beautiful suggestions in there. So read through what other members have shared on that feed in our Facebook group that comments under me getting people's reflections on module one. All right, question on from Lexi on morning routines. I've been working on creating a morning routine on and off for the last year. I tend to be a night owl, wake up late in the morning, and I always struggle with the routine. On the rare occasion I nail down the morning routine, I feel great and self-directed. Well, I know this is difficult if you are sort of a night owl, in that maybe you're the most inspired, alert, maybe you enjoy night times, you like doing things at night. So I suppose for me, I'm better in the morning, so I wouldn't call myself a night owl. And if that's sort of a part of you really enjoy the nighttime, then I guess that's something to keep in mind, because that will definitely impact your mornings. Because I find the only thing that really helps me have a good morning routine is getting to bed early. So I guess it's about deciding whether you would like to be getting to bed earlier, and if so, what you can do to support yourself with that. So let's say you do actually, you'd love to be able to be getting to bed earlier so that you can have that time in the morning for yourself. There's a lot of things that you can be doing to support yourself with getting to bed a little bit earlier. The things that have helped me are, firstly, where possible, eating dinner earlier. So I try to eat dinner at 6 and no later. Not always, doesn't always happen, particularly when I'm with my boyfriend. We don't eat at 6. We eat when he wants to eat, which is usually about 8. But if I'm by myself, I will try to eat as early as possible. It signals to my body that once I've finished dinner, it's time to wind down. And it gives my body a lot of time to digest before I go to bed. And it means I'm not feeling stimulated by food late. It's actually, I sort of go through the digestive process and then my body starts to relax. That's one thing. The second thing is to have some kind of nighttime routine. So something that again begins to signal to your body that it's time to wind down. So for example, my boyfriend is a night owl. He's 100% a night owl. And it is interesting because he's the complete opposite to me. But what I've noticed with him is, late at night, he's still on his computer. He's got all the lights on. He's got music going. You know, he's still fully got all the stimulation of like daytime coming in at him at nighttime. And whenever I'm around him like that, I'm wide awake. Like, you've almost like you're telling your body it's daytime, even though it's 10 o'clock at night. So what actually has worked for me to help my body prepare for bed is to dim everything and reduce all the stimulation. So I don't watch TV late at night. I try not to be on my phone, or I definitely put on the nighttime setting so it's as dim as possible so I'm not getting all that blue light. I will dim all the lights, and my boyfriend hates it because he hates lamps. He just wants the lights on. And I'm like, babe, if we have the lights on at 10 p.m., I'm going to be wide awake. Like, so when I'm by myself, I begin turning off all the lights, having dim lighting. I might just have my Himalayan salt lamp or some candles or the lamps. So the dim light is again sending messages to my body that it's time to wind down. I will do a few little things that help me relax. I'll have a bath. I'll have a shower. I will get into my pajamas quite early. I might give myself a little body massage. I might diffuse some essential oils in the bedroom that are a calming blend. And I set my bedroom up like a little sanctuary, signaling to my body we're preparing to go to bed. You might get into bed early and then do something like read a book or listen to a guided meditation or something that helps you relax before bed. But if you do actually want to shift into going to bed early, I think it's 100% possible. You might just need to set up some of these new practices that shift your body out of being alert and stimulated late at night and instead start to signal to it that it's time to wind down and relax. Even for me, I go into my sort of evening routine pretty like from like 7 p.m. I'm beginning to wind down. Yeah, getting into comfy clothes, dimming the lights, sipping on herbal tea, turning off the television, reading a book. It's just all the things that tell my body it's time to go to sleep. Magnesium powders really help me as well. I take magnesium powder before bed, which is very calming and can help relax your body as well. Yeah, there's a lot of things that you can use. But for me, I never used to be a morning person. I never used to be able to wake up early. But it's been over the years of implementing all these things that have really allowed me to be a morning person. And one of the number one things that helps me get up early is not having a late dinner. That's just for me personally. The earlier I eat dinner, the easier it is for me to get up early in the morning, particularly if I want to exercise in the morning. I can't exercise early if I've had a big dinner. It just doesn't. I'm just too tired. So that's some of my kind of things. And you might sort of find that you may not, you know, every day be able to do this, but maybe if you start some mornings having that morning routine, having this new routine of getting to bed early and waking up earlier, maybe the more that you do it, you're just going to love it so much that it'll motivate you to want to do it more. I think we can train ourselves out of being night owls and into morning people. I absolutely think we can. It's just about setting up the right things that signal to your body that it's time to wind down, which, you know, like I said, when I look at my boyfriend's example, he has none of those things. Like, it's like music going, lights on, TV on, computer on at 10:30. And I'm like, whoa, mate, like, you know, he'll be up for hours because he's got all the stimulation coming at him that he would have during the day, if that makes sense. Yeah, I hope that's helpful. That's sort of, I have found has really helped me be able to get up earlier and do a morning routine is definitely getting in charge of how my night times are unfolding. Beautiful, Lexi. I'm glad that's really helpful. Yeah, that's worked a lot for me. All right, loves. That is all my questions. So thank you. Thank you for being here. I hope you've really enjoyed this first call. If you haven't submitted a question for this call and you're thinking about submitting one for the next call, I hope that sort of hearing the questions that have come through will give you a little bit of inspiration and ideas about the things you might want to ask and get support with. But I love these calls because it's a chance for me to go deeper into specific things and offer you additional support outside of the video classes. So I hope you found this useful. Thank you for joining me live. I will get this uploaded to the members site because you'll be able to re-watch this at any point. And just thank you for all of your questions and your interaction. Thank you, Helen. Thank you for being here. I'm glad you found this useful. She's saying it was thought-provoking and very helpful. My pleasure. Beautiful. Sorry about that banging outside. I'm going to go out and figure out what that is. All right, loves, I hope you'll have a beautiful day if you're in Australia, or evening if you're in another part of the world. And I'll see you soon. I'll see you in the Facebook group, and I'll see you on our next call in a couple of weeks. Lots of love, everyone. Thank you for being here on this journey. I'm loving sharing it with you. Bye.